Bible that has world, life, and believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but everlasting life. So that kind of double verifies the key verse is John 3:16. I know you love it when I talk like an engineer. Anyway, I've loved this book. I'm sure you have too. And John finishes it with this beautiful statement about the Word of God itself. Here in verse 24, he says, "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So the world itself could not contain the books. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of walking through this beautiful gospel and learning so much. And Lord, I pray now you'll teach us again and speak to our hearts again through its power. As we finish the book tonight, we are grateful for this opportunity to assemble and to pray together, but to hear from you. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit would be in control of the service. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So John says, this is the disciple. He's saying, this is me. I'm that disciple. He's referring up to the previous part of the chapter where, notice he says there in verse 23, "Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" He says, I am that disciple whom Jesus loved. That's me, referring to myself. He says, that's me, which testifieth of these things, and I wrote these things. So John is claiming ownership of the book, and he's saying that we know that this testimony is true. In other words, it came from God. So let's look at 1 John, the epistle, right at the beginning of the book, also written by the Apostle John. And here he talks about his testimony of the Word of God. Notice 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of the Epistle of John. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So notice here he's also saying, we are declaring Jesus unto you, the Word of life, the Word of God. We are declaring him unto you. John here is finishing his gospel by saying, I'm the one who's testified of these things. I wrote these things. And that this testimony is true. That the Word of God is true. If it wasn't true, we would be in serious trouble, would we not? Because that is the foundation of what we believe as Christians about Jesus and about life and about God and about salvation and heaven and hell and on and on. This is our authority. This is where we get the truth, is from God's written Word. He refers to it as the Word of Truth many times in the Scriptures. Most of you know 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth." So God refers to his own Word as the Word of Truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." And so God's Word, hallelujah, is true. It is the truth, the written truth for you and for me. And he says that if all the things that Jesus did there in verse 25 were written, every one, he says, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books. Remember, Jesus healed thousands. Jesus cast devils out of multitudes. Jesus raised multiple dead people. He calmed storms. He showed his complete power over creation with even little things, like telling Peter to go cast the fishing line, and the fish that he caught would have a coin in its mouth. And many times saying to them, cast on the other side, and then he filled their nets. He walked on the water. But of course, and he fed thousands out of a little tiny bit, showing his creation power. But then his greatest claim to victory was his resurrection, showing that he had the power over death and that he has the keys of hell and of death. But Jesus Christ came to the earth to die, but he also came to be a testimony of God's love for the world and to show his own power, Jesus' own power. But what this verse tells us about the Word of God is not only that it's true, but that it is exactly what God wanted us to have. And I find that quite comforting. I don't know about you, but what he's saying is, if God wanted to, he could have made the Bible much bigger, because he could have written more down. So much down that it could have filled the world with the books. And so what God is saying is, I've given you exactly what you need. And a lot of people look at the Bible and say, oh, it's so big. It really isn't. It really isn't. Most people can read through it in a year without even a struggle. They're just willing to take 20 minutes a day. But it's exactly what God wanted us to have. This wonderful book, the Word of Truth, that was testified by God's prophets, John being one of them. And it's exactly what he wanted us to have. There's a couple of other things I just want to remind us tonight about his word. Not only is it exactly what he wanted us to have, but I've got five P's here about the word, that it's pure. And we talked about this, that it's not only exactly what God wants us to have, but it's perfect. And God promised that he would preserve it, did he not, in Psalms 12. He says, the words of the Lord are pure words. That's God's description. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, it says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. God promised that it would be pure and he would preserve it. But by claiming that it's pure, of course, he's claiming that he wrote it. Amen? That it's the truth straight from the true one, our Heavenly Father. And that, of course, you can turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. And we can be wrong. I know a lot of you know this verse already. But this book is exactly what God wanted us to have. And God wrote it. And God has preserved it for us. It is perfect. It is pure and it is preserved. Notice 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired the Word of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this book that we hold in our hands tonight is exactly what God wanted us to have. It's perfect. He's preserved it. And he gave us exactly the words he wanted us to have. But also, so it's pure and preserved, but it's also powerful. And as Jesus said there in John 7:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is truth. But it has the power to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to change us, to make us more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:12, if you want to turn there, I know a lot of you haven't memorized. If you don't, you probably should. But it says that the Word of God is, number one, it's quick. That word quick means it's alive. This is a living book. Then it goes on to say, and powerful. This is a powerful book, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. And look at the last bit. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's this book. It can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is powerful. Exactly what God wanted us to have. And here he likens it in this verse to a sword. Of course, in Ephesians 6:17, he says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other parts, he likens it to a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You think our heart needs a hammer sometimes? Yes. He likens it to a fire in that same verse. He likens it many times to seed. And we know that seed can regenerate and bring life of itself. To a mirror, in James chapter 1, to a lamp and a light, Psalm 119:105, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To milk, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. To meat, in Hebrews chapter 5, to, as we just read in Psalms 12, to silver, Isaiah 55:10-11, he likens it to rain and snow. And in Ephesians 5, he likens it to water. That's just a couple of examples, but those are to reveal its power, that it can cleanse, that it can lead, that it can sanctify, that it can break down resistance, that it can bring life, and on we could go. But let's look at Psalm 119, if we could, quickly, verse 161. Psalms 119, remember, is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's about the Bible. But Psalm 119, 161, this book, I hope, is precious to you. You know, there are still some people in the world, certain people groups, certain language groups, that don't have it. Imagine that. But we do, English speakers, hallelujah. And it should be very precious to us, and that preciousness should be revealed in how we treat it. But notice Psalm 119, verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I've kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Notice, he says in verse 61, I'm in awe of the word of God. Verse 62, 162, I rejoice at the word. He says, I love it in verse 63. I praise God for it in 164. It brings peace in 165. And, of course, it guides us with its commandments. And then he says, essentially, this book is very special to me. Amen? And that should be our attitude toward the book that God gave us. John said, if God had chosen to, he could have filled the world with books about what Jesus did while he was here on earth. And remember, look at chapter 20, verse 31 of John, where he revealed why he wrote it. And here he's saying, I am the one that wrote it, and my testimony is true because God wrote it through me. And God gave us exactly what we wanted of this precious word. But he said, why did I write this book? Verse 31 of chapter 20. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, ye might have life through his name. That's why I wrote this gospel. So that people could believe. That's why it's the number one word of John. Over 100 times. No other book in the Bible has the word believe that many times. I wrote this book that people might believe on Jesus Christ, and that believing they might have life through his name. Hallelujah for the life that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose that if they were written down every one, the world itself could not contain the books. God gave us exactly what he wanted us to have. And he expects us to hold it precious to our hearts. Amen. And you know, I really think God wants more Christians to be like those Christians at Berea. There in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. Anybody know the next word? Daily. Do you search the scriptures daily? I hope so. I hope it's that precious to you. The world itself could not contain the books. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for